God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Philip just asked me to share with you a bit of my life story, as I can put it. I'll start from the beginning. It's going to take long because I'm pretty old. So as the story progresses, you'll know how old I am. I went to school in Limpopo province. I was a head boy, primary school, secondary school, so things were looking up. But my friends that I chose in school weren't the best. So I started drinking, smoking, hanging out with girls, and not blaming on my friends, but I started looking at girls like they're just a tool, you know, just use them whenever you need them. But true. After school, I didn't know what I was going to do, so my parents decided to send me overseas. I went to the UK. Got there, it was like doing my own thing. The first job I was sacked. And so that was my first week in the UK. I didn't have a job. I lived in, I lived in it's like a day house thingy, and there's like all these Chinese people, so they want to wake up early, I want to sleep late, didn't work out well. Then I got a new job, and then as soon as I started getting money, I was drinking again, hooking up with girls. It was a regular thing. Then I met this girl that at the time I thought I was going to marry, just to stay in England, actually. That was the reason, like, sort of went out with her, because she was from the UK. And I really wanted to stay in the UK. So, that didn't work out in the end because she cheated on me with my best mate. And we all worked together, so it was really awkward vibe. Then I came back after 2 years. My dad enrolled me at Turks for marketing. So I got back. But I told her, like, I'm coming back to come and visit you. But my plan in the beginning, or like when I came back, like, my plan was always not to go back. But she didn't know that. So, she phoned me when I was here. She was like, okay, listen, there's a little Erviaki here in the UK waiting for you. Getting a message like that when you have to study, I think you guys can all relate to that. Like, it wasn't the best time. So, like, I just told her, listen, I don't want to get anything to do with this. Like, just leave me alone. Get an abortion if you have to. Like, that's really where I'm at now. Like, I just want to study and start a new life. So she, when I came over, like, she didn't have any contact details of me, so I had to give her my parents' numbers. Yes, she phoned my parents and told them they've got a little grandson back in the UK. So, yeah, family was very disappointed in me. And, my whole family, like, was ripped apart, sort of. And my mom, I really think the relationship with my mom was really damaged in a bad way, because she phoned me while I was back there and asked me, like, am I sleeping with this girl? And I was like, no, of course not. But anyway, that set aside, it was just a hoax. She just wanted me to go back to the UK, so I haven't got a little one, luckily. So then things went better. Like, I started studying, and, like, I came to Shofar. Like, there was a girl that invited me to Shofar, and, like, seeing that I like girls and I really wanted to hang out with them, I came to Shofar, and there I got saved, and things didn't automatically change. Like, I still saw girls like the way I do. Like, I don't know, like, the world portrays from a guy's perspective, they just don't judge me, okay? they're really nice to look at. So that's all I, like, when I see a girl, like, that's all I would do and that. But God has worked with me since then. And I went through a couple of bad relationships before, like, I met my fiance. She's overseas now We're actually apart for a year. Yes, that sucks. But luckily, there's Skype. It's not the same, though. God has really showed me, like, how to really love women for what they are. And the other thing, like, I realized today as well, like, in the past, like I saw, like, one girl wasn't enough, you know. Like, you always have to have, you have to have a backup plan. So when this relationship doesn't work, there's someone else. There was always, like, a couple of girls, like, at the same time, not involved with them, but, like you hang out with them and so forth. So God has really shown me, like, the world portrays, like, you have to have more than one girl. Like, especially, like, just any show that you look at on TV shows a guy having more than one girl. I mean, what's a freaking program? How I Met Your Mother. Like, I mean, what's that guy with the... There we go. Like, every season, and Two and a Half Men, like, every season is, they've got someone new, you know, and, like, that's what the world, like, wants to portray to us, but, like, one person, you can actually just love one person, and that's enough. Like, God has really showed me that, and, like, I just want to thank, like, God, like, because He's really changed the relationship with my parents as well. Like, the relationship between me and my mom's, like, really fixed. We live together now, like, I'm at home. And things are going really well. So I just want to thank God for that. And I just want to say, like, when you involved, like, in girls and in the past, like, I stopped, like, sleeping around with girls. And then, like, other things came into my way, like, as like taking that place, like porn and things like that, you know. Like, I think a lot of guys can relate to that because we want to be physically stimulated. Like I said earlier, like, we like looking at girls. And it is difficult, and you've always got a choice. And nowadays, with cell phones and internet, it's so easy to get these things out. In my mom's school, like, they've got so many problems with the kids, man. They're like 17, 16 years old, and they're looking at porn in class. Like, you have to decide, like, what you want to, like, if anything can get your attention, it can affect you. But if it can keep your attention, like, that's what's going to control you. So you have to decide, like, and I've got this theory of mine, like, one policy, one look policy. Like, you only have to look for this for the guys, for the girls, in a way. You only have to look at a girl once to see that she's not dead. She's not your ex-girlfriend or her mother. And she's not your sister. So if you're going to look at a girl more than once when she walks past you, why are you looking at her? What is your reason? What's your intentions? So especially for the guys, you have to, like, watch your eyes, where you're looking at. Thank you. I hope that helped.
What he doesn't tell you is while his fiance is in Korea and just a girlfriend, he flies across and meets her there and he says, listen, this long-term relationship thing isn't going to work for me, or this long-distance relationship doesn't work for me. You're too far. We can't carry on like this. So please, will you marry me? After her heart sinks to her shoes and she almost starts crying, and he, all a fail, you know. This evening, we're going to just speak a little bit about biblical sexuality, and I'm going to try and keep it really short because you guys gave us a whole bunch of questions, and I'm sure many of you sitting here have questions, and the Lord provided microphones for each one of you tonight. So you can ask your question. So we're going to have a little bit of a panel to try and answer your questions so you don't just get one view. But before we start, let's bow our heads. Just commit the evening to God. Lord, we thank you that we can be here this evening. Lord, thank you for what you have already done and shared with us and just established in our hearts throughout this week. God, thank you that even as the enemy comes in like a flood, Lord, you raise up a standard by your Spirit. And I thank you for the standard you are raising up, God. A standard of holiness and a standard of purity. A standard, Lord, of a knowledge of your will and your ways, God. And just, Lord, this evening we pray that once again you come and speak to us, Lord. You come and lead us, guide us, show us your ways, Lord God. We just bring our hearts before the throne of Christ. And Lord, we lay aside every one of our own ideas and opinions, God. And we say, Lord, come and show us your way, Lord. Because as the heavens are higher than the earth, Lord, your ways are higher than our ways. And this evening, God, we want to tap into your ways. I pray, Lord, that you open every ear to hear your words, Lord. And Lord, that the words I speak will bring life to all who hear. As always, God, I don't look at my own knowledge or own experience, or own ability, Lord, but I rely solely on your grace and your Spirit working through in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you grow up in a world, in a omgeving, a community where maybe part of life is stealing. Stealing isn't maybe acceptable, except that it is accepted. No one says it's right, but everyone does it. It's the way we get around, it's the way we live. Maybe we're impoverished, whatever the reason may be. No one sort of frowns on it. As a matter of fact, my mom or my dad might even encourage it. Because she benefits from it. If I'm a good thief, if I'm a pickpocket, whatever it may be. Then I grow up, or I end, whatever happens, and I come into a relationship with Christ. And inside of me is built in, I've been conditioned to steal. Now maybe I'm in church and I'm serving in church and the offering gets taken up and they ask me to help count the offering. I'm in a situation here and there's a room and maybe the other guy who's counting with me, he goes out of the room quickly. What is the temptation that comes into my mind most probably? I could take one or two of these 100 rand notes and stick them in my pocket and no one's ever going to know. The temptation, the thought is going to be there. And what would the godly response be in that situation? What is the godly response? Don't do it. The godly response is leave it. Call somebody else into the room. Don't leave yourself alone with your temptation. The same way maybe somebody who's got a gambling addiction, maybe his dad takes him down gambling, exposes him to gambling. Gambling is part of his life from a young age. And then he realizes, but, you know, I'm working hard and everything I'm getting is just going straight to the casino. I don't have any money. I'm not earning anything, or I am earning, but everything I'm earning, I'm wasting and I'm losing on this gambling habit that I have. What would your advice be for that person? Stay away from the casino. Make sure you've got a friend with you, somebody on speed dial you can phone. If you feel you've got this urge to go to a casino to relieve your stress, make sure you don't go. Put in life what you need to put in your life to safeguard you from your known area of weaknesses. And this evening, wanting to speak to us a little bit about sexuality, I want to say to you exactly the same thing. We grow up, we live in a world which, as Arve was saying just now, doesn't just not accept, not even as a word, not endorse sexual immorality, but the world expects it of it, expects it of us. Every TV show expects sexual immorality. The expectation on a guy and the expectation on a girl in a worldly sense is sexual immorality. But that doesn't for one moment make it right. I think one of the things that we continually need to remind ourselves is that we're in a world which doesn't look in many areas at all like Scripture says the world should look. Now, when that disconnect happens, when that dichotomy is there, we've got one of two choices. We can look at the world and look at the Word and say, the world doesn't line up to the Word, so I must change my interpretation of the Word of God so that it makes sense within my context and within the world I'm living. That's one way to view Scripture. The view I advocate and the way I choose to live my life is to say, my world and Scripture doesn't line up, so the world in which I live, the way I relate to my world, must change to align to what Scriptural truth is, to the basis and the truth of Scripture. And with that as a background, I want that to bring that into our worlds of sexuality, each one of us, the way in which we relate to our own sexuality. And this evening, I'm actually wanting to say as little as possible, because what I simply want to say to you, you can find in the same verse pretty much in Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 7, Song of Solomon chapter 3 verse 5, and Song of Solomon chapter 8 verse 4, which all says the same thing, and it's something that that Anton referred to the other night. When he says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and by the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. Exactly the same scripture, just a couple of chapters later. And in chapter 8 it says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. That love there does not refer to the love of 1 Corinthians. Love is kind, love is patient. It does not refer to the love that you and I have for God or the love that you and I have for our brothers or our sisters in Christ. That love there is specifically sexual desire, sexual love. And what I want to say to you this evening very simply is don't. In the same way, I think most of us grew up, let me put it this way, most of us grew up in a world where sexual activity and sexuality and sexual desire, we couldn't get around it. Whether it be the magazines, the TV, the discussion, the friends, we were exposed to a world of sexuality. In the same way that maybe somebody might have been exposed to a world of thievery. Our response needs to be exactly the same. Our response, as scripture says here, don't stir it up. Don't stir up the sexual desire until it pleases. Make a point, he's saying there, of walking away from the sexual desire so that the juices don't get going. So that the temptation isn't there. And I don't know about you, but if scripture says something three times, it's obviously a reason. You know, if God has to put it in there a couple of times, maybe it's because He knows we're not quite going to get it the first time. When does it please? It says, until it pleases. When does it please? Hebrews chapter 13 says, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. What is a fornicator? A fornicator is anybody involved in sexual activity out of marriage. An adulterer is somebody who's involved in sexual activity with somebody who is married to another person. When does it please? When is the right time for sexual activity? In marriage. The marriage bed, speaking about obviously the intimacy and the sexual relationship that happens there, it says it's undefiled. It's pure before God. And that is the only place that the bed ever is undefiled, is within a marriage covenant. I want to encourage you, if you want to just read a little bit about just scripture relating to biblical morality and purity, go look on the internet and find something called the Colorado Statement of Biblical Sexual Morality. For those of you that are members with us, it's in your Foundation 2, the community seminar. It's in that little booklet. It's printed in there. The Colorado Statement of Biblical Sexual Morality. Go look it up and read it. Just scripture after scripture after scripture about what a scripture hold before us of biblical sexual morality. And to sum all of it up in one sentence, there is only one possible conclusion from looking at scripture, and that is that the only place for biblical sexual morality is in marriage. And within the confines of only that marriage. So until you are married, it's very easy. Don't stir up sexual desire. Do not awaken love until you say, I do. Carrying on just a little bit. Next one. What happens when I'm in those places? Run, Forrest. In the same way, if a thief comes into a place where he has a godly heart, God, I want to do this right, but right now there is temptation for me to steal this thing. In the same way that somebody who's maybe addicted to whatever it may be, addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs, addicted to whatever it may be, addicted to gambling, once he gets exposed to that addiction, to that thing that tempts him, that wants to draw his sinful desire, what should he do? Get out of the room. Run. Make sure he's not alone. Flee also youthful lusts. Flee them. Don't know if any of you have ever seen somebody fleeing. And I'm not talking about that little flea that bites you at night. What does flee mean? It means with every ounce of energy that I have, I get out of here. Because if I don't, they're going to shoot my head off. If I don't, my life is going to end. And scriptures relating to that same thing here, do whatever you need to do to protect yourself from sexual desire. He says, flee youthful lusts. When those things come that want to draw you towards what is ungodly and unrighteous and impure, don't go towards it. I want to say to some of you guys, so agree with what Ervia said. These two things for men are probably is the most important input into your whole life. Guys, you all know this. You are visually stimulated. So what do you need to be more aware of than anything else? Well, what is coming in through your eyes? Do you guys remember when you were, was you still at varsity? But school at varsity, for those who still work with calculators. We used to have this thing that we said if people made stupid mistakes. Rubbish in, rubbish out. Do you guys remember that? Did you ever say that? When you're working with a calculator, rubbish in, it's going to give you rubbish out. The battery's not flat, it's just you push the wrong buttons. Sexually, it's exactly the same. If you allow rubbish into your eyes, rubbish is going to flow out of who you are and the way you live your life. Stay away, and I didn't joke when I said yesterday, all of these men's magazines, they are not men's magazines, they're wussy magazines. Because no man who is a man in his pure heart would read that magazine. No man who is a man with the capacity to give himself solely to his wife will look at that magazine. It's only the guy who is too wimpish to man up and be a real man who needs the sexual stimulation that he can get from looking at those images. Your websites, TV programs, you know the best button on the TV remote is the off button. That should be your default. If you're just a little bit uncomfortable, turn it off or switch to sport, you know. And then just hope that they don't zoom in on the cheerleaders too much. We've got this stupid ad on DSTV now. No, we live for the cheerleaders. The poor guy who lives for a cheerleader. There's so much more to life than your next sexual thrill, your next sexual experience, your next sexual moment. Flee youthful lusts. The things that draw you away sexually, guys and girls. Guys, it's easy to identify. It's the stuff that makes you aroused. Stay away from that. Girls, it's a little bit different. It's the stuff that gets those emotions going in an ungodly way. And maybe some of the ladies will help you with that. Why do girls read Mills and Boone books? Who here read a Mills and Boone book? Be honest. You're the only honest person in the room. Huh? When I was at school, all the girls read Mills and Boone. And when they're done watching Mills and Boone, they watch Bold and the Beautiful and Days of Our Lives and Seven Alone, you know, and all those things. And what is the draw card to a soap opera? It's the emotional high from the romance I'm seeing on screen. It's the emotional high that this guy is going to give up his everything for this stupid woman. And then when he's given up his everything for this stupid woman, he's going to give up his everything for her mother, and then his everything for their sister, and then his everything for his long-lost love child, you know. Something twisted that draws us towards a thing. And I want to say to you ladies, be aware of that same, if you want to call it emotional pornography. It stirs a desire, an ungodly and an unhealthy and an unrealistic desire in your heart for this warm and cuddly moment now because I don't have it somewhere else in my life and I'm going to fill it with emptiness. What should I do if I'm fleeing youthful lusts? Well, pursue righteousness, faith, love and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Scripture says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good habits. In the same way, good company establishes good habits. Make sure that the people you are surrounding yourself with, the people who are influencing you in your life, are calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. I so loved the student group that I was involved with when I was a student, because the rest of the world had before, you know, how much sex are you having? How much beer did you have last night? When was the last time you get drunk? That's way too long ago. You know, that's what the world was having before us. That's peer pressure from the world. And I came into a group of people who were calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. And what I loved about it was the peer pressure. The peer pressure was to be righteous. The encouragement, the challenge from the friends, the example from the friends, the accountability from the friends wasn't how ungodly are you being, but how is your pursuit with God? How decently are you, that girl you took out for coffee last night, I just happened to walk past at the movies. Let's talk about what's happening here. Are you treating her with respect? Because I know that's really what's in your heart, and I want to help you to be the godly man you want to be. Godly peer pressure. I want to encourage those of you, if you're not in a small group, if you're not in a group where you're surrounded by other people like-minded, come to one of our small groups, slot in there, and allow the people to speak into your life and you to speak into their lives. Come to a place where you surround yourself with others, calling on the Lord out of a pure heart, and together pursue righteousness, pursue pure love, faith, peace. The next one we've got here is, yes, I must run, but then I run to my bed and I'm all alone at night, and the thoughts start coming in. These ideas, these images, these pictures, what does Scripture say? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know what that says? It says it starts with a thought. We've got these arguments and these high things and many other things that are happening, but at the base of all of them is just a simple thought. Some of you, I want to speak a word of grace and a word of freedom, and I want to say to you, a thought is not a sin. If I walk into a room and there's just like a gazillion Kruger Rands lying on the floor, and a thought pops into my mind, ooh, just put a couple in your pocket, no one's going to know. You know the security camera is broken. You're here to fix the security camera. So just put a couple in your pocket. No one's going to know. That's a thought. Have I sinned yet? No, it's a thought. What determines whether it's sinful or not is how do I respond to that thought? Do I respond and say, no, that is not the man I choose to be. That is not the God and reflective of the God I serve? So no, I cast away that thought. I bring the thought into the obedience of Christ. Or do I allow my mind to dwell? Ooh, how many should I take? How many can I fit in my pocket without it bulging? That's when it starts becoming, when I start meditating on it, when it starts becoming an argument, the Scripture says. When it starts becoming something that I'm entertaining in my mind. I'm working it out. I'm meditating on it. Scripture says, meditate on whatever is noble and pure and righteous and good. Keep your mind occupied with the things of purity and the things of God. And trust in it, the Holy Spirit to wash away the rubbish and to cleanse you from the things that are not godly. Just now one of the questions were, how far is too far? Question that most of you probably have. Well, it's pretty easy. The very moment, as a guy, speaking as a guy, I can ask one of the ladies maybe to answer just now for the ladies. But for a guy, how far is too far? Well, the moment you start getting excited. That's too far. The moment you start awakening love, the moment you start stirring up the desire to be physical, that sexual desire, that moment you've crossed the line. Step back and say, no, no, I want to do this the pure way. I want to do this the righteous way. I'm not going to disrespect you as a woman. I'm not going to disrespect my body. And most of all, I'm not going to disrespect the God who I serve. By being lazy with His Word and being lazy with His ways. Sounds like a high standard, and it is a high standard. But I believe it's a standard of holiness and a standard of purity that God holds before us. What happens? I must flee. If at moments not come, as we were speaking about, I see the girl, I've looked once, I see it's not my sister, it's not my mother, it's not, you know, some world famous celebrity that I need to get their autograph. I don't need to look again. But if you're in that situation, I'm drawn to look again, flee, run away. Ask your friends and say, listen, the next time I walk on campus, you walk with me. Especially in summer. And I tell you what, the two of us, we're going to look at each other's eyes. You know, in Stellenbosch, it's where I studied, it's all covered by mountains, and the beginning of summer, we just began to quote scripture to all the other men, which said, I lift my eyes up to the mountains, you know. Where does my help come from? But help one another and say, listen, I really want to get this right. Is there anybody else, any of my friends who also want to get it? Okay, cool. We happen to study the same thing. Let's walk together to class. Let's make sure I'm not twisting my neck off as I walk to class. Hit me if I do. Just rek my net reg, because I really don't want to. There's a desire in me to be pure and to be holy. But like Paul, sometimes I do those things that I don't want to do. And the things I don't want to do, those things are the things I do. And all of that confusing stuff that he says. Keep your heart pure. Have people around you pursuing faith, righteousness, love, peace out of a pure heart. Be willing to run away. And that's probably the biggest thing, is we don't want to run away. We're in the movie and we think, oh, it's just one more scene. Yes, it's one more scene that's going to stick in your mind for the rest of your life. Sitting there closing your eyes, I want to say to you guys, it's not enough. Make a simple statement. Get up and walk out. And say, doesn't matter how good this movie is, it's not worth sacrificing the purity that I want to have for my wife for whatever this, how many Oscars ever this movie might have won. Keep our minds pure. And then just lastly, before we get to the questions, some of you are thinking, but I've already messed up. You know, I've already been involved sexually. I've already gone too far. Is it too late? One of my favorite scriptures here in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Turn to your friend and say, don't believe a lie. For those of you that are sort of missing the whole thing here, if I must just summarize what I've been saying up to now, some of you just need to think about sex less. Some of you just need to allow your minds less time to engage sexually, to dream sexually, to fantasize sexually. Of whatever sexual orientation or thought, whatever, just stop reading the books about sex. If you want to get over your sex issue or your sexual, what's the word for sexual obsession or sexual disorder, there's another word for that, I can't remember it now. You laugh. Tiger Woods got admitted to for an addiction to sex. He doesn't have an addiction to sex. He's just got no discipline in his eyes. I'm being dead serious. He married the prettiest woman he could find. And then she got pregnant. And then he realized this isn't good enough for him anymore. And he went on to the next woman and the next woman and the next woman. And over a hundred women later, his wife found out. More than 100. A sexual addiction. But he's not addicted to sex. He's just never learned the discipline of saying no with his eyes. The discipline of saying, this isn't what I'm living for. He lost his wife. He lost his children. I can promise you that guy, when he's 50, 60, or 70, if he gets there, he's going to say, I'd exchange every single one of my golf titles for a family, a relationship with my wife and children again. I can promise you he'll say that. He'll say, everything I've had in the world means nothing because I've lost my wife and my children. Moved back to Sweden, living on an island, wants nothing to do with him. You can't blame her either. Do you not know what I was going to say? If he just learned earlier in his life, if somebody had just told him, don't think so much about your issue. Whatever your issue is, don't give so much time of day to it. Rather give time of day to those things that are good and noble and pure. Some of you are so busy trying to get over the sexual thing. You're reading all these sexual books and all they're doing is they're just fueling the fire even more. Just get your mind on something else. Just go running or, I don't know, play a computer game or do something brain dead. But don't get your brain busy. Study scripture. Start learning, memorizing scripture. But get away from these books that are trying to deal with your problem because all they're doing is they causing you to focus more on the problem. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Most of us fall into one of those categories. And then he says this beautiful part, and such were some of you, some of us. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I want to say to you, it is never too late. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what you were doing, where you have been up to now, when you walked into this room tonight. The power of God and the Spirit of God is enough to wash and cleanse and to take all of that away. I told you yesterday about my friend Adele, who when she got saved, physically got healed. So much so that when she went to the gynecologist before her wedding, he looked at her and he said, she's a virgin. She said, no, I'm not a virgin. He said, yes, you are. Medically speaking, you are a virgin. Your body has completely been healed. And I know of a couple of people with whom that's happened. The ability of the blood of Christ to wash and cleanse and purify us. But we need to come under the blood of Christ. The first thing we need to do, if we're struggling with sexual issue of whatever sort it may be, is to say, God, this is wrong. And that's why I'm speaking so straight to us tonight. Because the world is wanting to say a gazillion things. Oh, it's okay. Don't feel so bad about it. It's not so. Yes, it is so wrong. Yes. Do not be deceived. God will judge. But in the same way, when we come to Christ like the woman caught in the act of adultery in John 8, he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I'm not wanting to say this to bring guilt and condemnation on. I'm wanting to say everything I'm saying tonight to bring healing and restoration. To bring you to a place where you can understand what this lie that I've been deceived, some of us. I was deceived for a very large part of my life. I thought I was okay. It's okay to lust after girls. It's okay to look and to think, wow, that's a really pretty girl, and to buy all the calendars. And, you know, I subscribed from when I was like this big to South African Sports Illustrated when it was still a sports magazine, you know. Interviews with John T. Rhodes and Steffi Graf and Gary Teichman and Francois Pinard and all of those guys. That was what in the magazine. And then later on, it started morphing a little bit. And I remember the first year still when they had the Sports Illustrated swimsuit calendar. This new thing. And all the guys were like, wow, this is so cool. All these hot chicks in bikinis. But there's nothing cool about that in the eyes of God. And until we come to the place where we understand and we realize, God, this in no way whatsoever reflects your glory, because this woman was created in your image. Until I come to that place where I'm willing to say, God, it is wrong, change me on the inside, I'm not going to change. But when I get honest with myself and I own my sin and I say, God, this is sinful, God. Yes, God, I'm struggling with it. God, it is here. I can't take it away, but thank you, Jesus, that the cross is enough. Come and wash me. Come and do what you did to some of these idolaters, fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. God, you washed them, you sanctified them, you justified them. And that same God can and wants to do exactly the same in each one of our lives. So for those of you, and I think most of us here, most of you here aren't married yet, when you come to your marriage bed on the first night, you can sit there with a pure heart and a pure mind, and you can say, yes, I had done all of that in my past, but I've been washed. I've been sanctified. Sexually, I am whole, I am new. I'm giving myself to this person as if it was the first time. And there is no greater gift I can give my wife or my husband than sexual purity, sexual holiness. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.